Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to my dog psychology radio show. My name is Dan McCluskey. I'd like to welcome you back. Hope you're having a great day. On today's show, this show is called Pathway Towards Meaningful Change or Devaluation. Now here in this show, I'm going to provide some really good pointers, some interpretation. And what you're going to get from these series of shows and from even today's show is you're going to get insight that you're not going to get anywhere else from any other trainer, any dog behavioralist, because people just don't see this. In fact, you know, when dogs end up being destroyed or given up on or medicated, go through the whole list, this is the reason why. Because in the main point here is that response, certain scripts, certain learning-based scripts, don't always line up or represent the changes even happening. I mean, that's a real big, you know, if you want to kind of blow the roof off everything, that's it. That you can't trust what you see unless you step back and put it into the right relational context. And so many people aren't doing it. So many trainers, behaviorists, aren't qualified to do it, because the reason they're not qualified is they totally reject how a dog's decision-making process is influenced relationally. They totally reject the idea dogs are pack animals even. They go on with all the foolishness. And the problem is in all that, and this is why people really go crazy over what I'm saying, because they really challenge people's underlying motives with doing you know, the reasons why they do the things they do. And they come to medicating dogs and blaming dogs and shifting the focus away from people changing, is because it's typically it's an ideology of self. The reason people have trouble is because they're focused on themselves rather than dogs as a relational being that they really are. They don't look at dogs as having separate needs that way. They look at them just focus on themselves, how dogs can meet their needs, and so the dog's needs are totally dismissed, and or they think something's wrong with the dog. In reality, there's something wrong with the people. Okay, I mean, that's the bottom line. I don't mean to sound harsh, but training is really a people problem. I mean, it comes down to a people problem. So for me, dogs are the easy part. I mean, even aggressive dogs, believe it or not, that all these behaviorists want to say genetic problem with dogs, absolutely not. Here's the clue here. If there's a genetic problem with a dog, there's a level I'm at, because I can see this stuff. If there's a genetic problem with a dog, that dog won't even make it out of the, you know, birthing room, so to speak, just like, you know, just not, because it's not going to line up, okay? It's going to be so unpredictable. It's going to be so erratic and out of control that immediately that dog won't even make it through the front door of the training facility. If a dog doesn't make it into the doorway of the training facility, I guarantee you it's not a genetic problem, even if the behaviorist wants to say it is, okay? Because this stuff all lines up. It all lines up. But the problem is the behaviorists, they don't have the insight or the ability to connect these dots, okay? Because you have to understand something here. I mean, when I talk about training, the majority of trainers are working off a different script. Okay, what they're doing is they're taking response and they're looking at response to connect it to a like-minded state. Okay, they're referencing it. Their script is, okay, if the dog's doing a sit down, stay and come. If the dog's moving through the motions, going through the motions of my training script, that represents that relational change is moving forward, because that represents a like-minded state. And what I show relationally is that absolutely is not always the case. In fact, the systems which are promoting learning ideology at a very weak and permissive level with using treats and all, and I'll talk about the packaging problem here, I guarantee you that in the risk levels go up, which means that, you know, on the spectrum of change, you're going to take it further away from the intervention level. So therefore, trainers who are promoting this script a certain way, I almost guarantee you it's not lining up, okay? So in the majority of cases, and especially if you look at the relational needs of dogs, certain breeds such as pit bulls, it just isn't going to line up. Okay, so, you know, this is if you want to know why these certain people really struggle or blame the dogs, and then in their little world, okay, in their little bubble that they've created for themselves, it somehow makes sense to kill these dogs and medicate these dogs. This is absolutely, it becomes at a reprobate level, okay, where there's a turning over When people refuse, and this is the thing, when people refuse to love the truth, when they absolutely refuse to see what's in front of them, nature will turn you over to your own stinking thinking. Okay, I mean nature to me is amazing. It really is. It requires a surrendering to your own thinking. It becomes coming to the end of yourself. Because really, you know, I'll talk about my faith in these shows. I mean, there's things here that are unbelievable. You talk about, you know, the connection issue, what dogs show us through nature. There's things I don't believe are coincidences whatsoever, and I'll talk about these in some of my future shows. I don't think there are no accidents and coincidences here. People who think a certain way are turned over to this stuff. I don't care. And education is no won't save you. Okay, I don't care. There's people with doctorate degrees who are totally reprobate. They're totally sold out. And then that's why, you know, this whole group is trying to marginalize anyone that challenges the so-called science of dog training. It's absolutely a utter and complete joke. It's nonsense. It's foolishness. That's what it is. It becomes foolishness. So if you go onto my site, I mean, I pulled down a lot of my videos because, again, I don't, I mean, there's a danger even when you attack this stuff. You have to realize that even as a trainer, when you know what I know, you know, I look at this stuff and you get very upset about it because you know what people are doing. You know they're not being honest with themselves, not being honest with the public. You know, they're not being honest with what the real motives are with doing this stuff. So there's a real unethical thing going on here. At the core of it, it's rotten. I mean, it's like another bite of the apple. It's just rotten to the core. Because it's relational, so it really exposes people's real motives for doing it. So it's idolatry. I mean, if you want to simplify this and want to know what I think of it, it's idolatry. And so everything's upside down as a result. So if you look at my talk about upside down, it means everything will look to make sense, but it's totally opposite. Okay, even at the physical response level, you flip it upside down because that's what's going on. So it's amazing because that's what happens. So that's why these people can't figure it out because they're totally, there's a mirroring process. They're not, so this whole thing about evidence is a total whitewash. It's not absolutely not about evidence whatsoever. The people are being devalued. And so, but again, what I'll go to is it's impossible to see what I see unless you embrace dogs as the relational beings they are, because there's so much of this script that's totally upside down. To turn it right side up, the only way you can turn it right side up is to surrender your thinking. You have to come to the end of your own self, so to speak, and you have to step back from it all, break the chain, so to speak, of whatever ideology or whatever methodology that you're sold out to, and you have to start to look at people. Okay, you got to start to look at the personality types involved. You know, look at what people say. It's all connected. It really is. So this whole thing here with, you know, and this is what I call it, the show, The Pathway Towards Meaningful Change and Devaluation, it starts right from the very beginning of how you approach training. It really does. You know, I show very clearly training is nothing more than an intervention. Now, when I say nothing more, I'm not diminishing it's deep. Clearly, there's a lot to this. I mean, I'm training a guy right now for the system, Anthony, and you talk to him. He'll tell you, I mean, there's a lot to this. I mean, the only way you can properly train somebody through the system is a mentoring approach. It's impossible to give someone like a two-week course in some group setting with people. It's impossible. You can't do it. So saying that, that shows you why, you know, you start getting into skimming the surface, these food treat trainers or people who don't really aren't really looking at the interplay to understand it. I mean, you're scratching the surface. You're not going to get to the truth of anything. You're just kind of playing around. If you really want to understand dogs at this level, you got to invest your thinking. You got to change. You got to totally be thinking totally different. And how I would describe this then is looking out. You know, I could be looking at the same window as a dog behavioralist or a trainer that's engaged in a certain script. Way of thinking, and we, you know, even though the landscape looks the same, we'd be seeing two entirely different things. That's why when I talk or engage with certain people, people want to argue with me about this script and learning stuff. It's all foolishness in my mind. I mean, it's a joke. I don't even engage it because these people aren't being honest right from the start. So, I mean, I don't care what they say. It means nothing to me. That's why I don't engage in certain arguments, because they're totally writing dogs off. I mean, then that's the thing you can do. You can create a little world for yourself. You can convince most of the public that you're doing certain things a certain way, but I know better. I mean, if I went in and audited, spent a week or 2 weeks in any of these training facilities or schools, you know, I'd expose it all. I mean, it's a joke. It really is. They can get away with this stuff, but I bring in six or seven, you know, pit bulls with behavior issues, and you know, not allow them to get away with writing these dogs off, and see how it goes down, because it's another complete joke. So anyway, get back to, I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but I'm very passionate about, you know, about this stuff, because I believe dogs are in our lives to teach us, to show us something more about ourselves, to take us beyond ourselves. So. So for me, there's deep meaning here. I mean, I don't, in this issue about ethics and being honest, I mean, that's, you know, because nature represents that. I mean, if you look at nature, I mean, your life could be falling to pieces, you know, for various reasons. I've been through that. Your life could be falling right to pieces. But the dogs in nature, I mean, they represent a purity and honesty. You know, and truth. And so when people kind of butt up against that with this ideology, you know, I see it. It all is just thrown onto the rocks. And that's why all these excuses have to be made. I mean, I'll tell you something. Dogs could really, this is the issue with dogs being fixed. I mean, people can make such an impact just by starting to embrace dogs as relational beings they are. Even a lot of these, I mean, I've had a real negative experience here with a rescue group not too long ago, basically were in the same, they're operating off this same script. I mean, you can feel bad about dogs. This is the thing to understand. You can feel bad about dogs at the physical level, but it's going to put you in a worse position, because you're not going to be able to meet the relational needs because your thinking is weak. Okay, feeling bad about a dog that way without reconciling through leadership is, it will get that dog destroyed. I mean, dogs are relational beings. It's mind and body. It's the whole person. So that's weakness to nature. That's why nature doesn't operate off that frequency. And so people who are in some of these, a lot of these rescue groups, they're doing a big disservice, because what they're doing is, again, I call it, again, it's idolatry. I mean, it's all about themselves. Again, you get the real motives, what they're doing. They're throwing all this money towards, you know, at the physical level of these dogs. Yet these, a lot of these dogs end up getting killed anyway, because their behavior issues get out of control, because they take all this type of connection as weakness. So all they're doing is, it's like a hamster in the wheel. They're doing this to make themselves feel good. It's about their own feelings. But in terms of really making a difference, or coming in the right relationship and alongside nature, in harmony with nature, which is going to make a real difference with healing dogs, they're not able to do it. Okay, so they're into the same dilemma. Now, I know there's a few good rescue organizations out there, but the ones I've encountered recently are not. And so I won't engage it. I mean, I just, you know, I kind of wash my hands of it, because, don't get me wrong, I feel really bad for the dogs. But the people, these people are in control of that. So I'm not going to take dogs in here, get them rehabbed, which is what the case, and then the dogs go back to this any rescue group. I get a bunch of phone calls saying the dogs are already out of control, and biting people, trying to bite people, and even in their psychology, they're already framing it up to these dogs and getting destroyed. I can't do it. I won't do it. So, you know, how I do things is the same thing. People come to me. There's ethics involved. I mean, there's ethics involved. I'm not going to engage people who are in certain psychology or state of mind, because you're not doing yourself any favor, and you're certainly not, in the end, doing the dogs any favor. And it's, you know, so again, it's a pointless exercise. But again, as long as there's like millions of dogs that get destroyed, this is going to keep going on and on. This isn't going to end. It's like a giant Ponzi scheme. So anyway, this whole thing, getting back to this thing of devaluation, that's the problem, okay? And so there's certain dynamics, just so people understand here, there's certain dynamics at work when you're interpreting behavior. So, for example, in your home environment, if you see your dog is looking like it's getting along at times with other dogs, This is why dog parks are problematic. Certain things are problematic because from at the appearance level, at the physical, you know, level, manifestation level, you're not going to get that clear picture. Because what happens is, you know, dogs communicate at a deep level with people and other dogs. So the thing you have to look at is in getting into this, you know, set aside my feelings about all this. I can go on, and I will go on my radio shows about some of this other foolishness. But just, you know, strictly for the dog owner seeking help, and I want to talk a few minutes about this on this show today. But just so you understand is when you're looking at your dog interacting with other dogs or even with people, there's a devaluation script at work too, okay, which, again, this is a really important point, which will paint a picture that looks like a true picture of a balanced dog at times, okay? So you'll get your dog, it'll look like play, it'll look good from the surface, but the problem with that is it's just like a narcissistic person who is, they're motivated and they see people as power sources, their motives aren't good, okay? They don't have any respect for anybody, but they're still going through the motions because it's flipped upside down, okay? So appearances, this is where appearances are very deceiving with dogs, because if you're not stepping back and looking at the behavior issues for what they really are, so you understand something, when you have behavior problems, when your dog's decision-making process is pushing beyond the parameters of the follower script, so these are expressed states, okay? This is the thing. I'll talk about this in my shows, about these expressed states. Those are not one-offs, okay? Now, you will have higher states of mind within certain associative, scripts. So, for example, a dog may be gaining a lot of fulfillment and power through certain situations, certain other dogs. So what you'll have is you'll have a very high express state within that script, okay? It's just like in that picture is coming together relationally within that with how that branch is off, but that still means that there's a misalignment, okay? So basically, behavior issues are a spillover effect caused through from the roles reversing relationally, okay? Dogs share very special connection with us through nature, through the pack relationship. They're relational beings. So this connection extends to other dogs, but also extends to people. Okay, this is what makes, you know, dogs truly amazing creatures, that they're able to connect with us this way. I mean, they really are. And even, so just understand, even when I talk about all the kind of bad stuff going on here with dog behavioralists and organize it and all this stuff, It doesn't, in my mind, take away from the fact whatsoever of dogs being amazing. In fact, through all this bad stuff going on, it's incredible to me. I mean, I don't take the bad stuff as all bad at all. I take it as just showing me that I'm absolutely 100% correct, okay? It doesn't matter if everyone can see it or not or refuse to see it or whatever. They're engaged in idolatry or whatever. I'm telling you something, dogs are absolutely amazing. So because they reject that script. Okay, I mean, the problem is, you know, we have the power to, you know, do whatever to them, but it doesn't matter in the end. They're not going to conform. I mean, nature's like a brick wall. So the thing to understand, again, getting back to this whole thing at the appearance level is, if you're trying to put an interpretation. This is why this script here, too, with training itself, when trainers use treats and they try to engage a dog training that way, that's a very bad idea, okay? Just relationally, packaging. And I'll tell you why it's a bad idea. Because people, some trainers, and this isn't typical, some trainers actually meet the criteria, relationally. It means that they have very strong leadership ability. And so they'll use treats and get away with it. Relational change will still happen because they're connecting the right way with the dogs. And some of these dogs, the relational needs may be a little lower anyway, the ones that they're connecting with. But see, they'll take that and they'll package it up and they'll say, oh, look, you know, treats work. Learning theory works. Okay, but they're not even, and we'll get into this whole script, this devaluation script too. This is another really kind of dynamic that plays into all this. Is And one of them, in fact, one of the videos I did not too long ago on Victoria Stilwell, she went to a home, and she basically, what she did was by using treats and learning, she basically brought everyone into the script of weakness. So she kind of flipped the whole thing upside down, and she's working off appearances, and it's amazing. I break all that down and show you, listen, you're not, it's all a controlled script, okay? But you take that dog outside, or outside the parameters of this evaluation script, you're going to see the real deal. That's why if you take a dog, you know, that's why things break down. Certain personality types come onto the scene, or, you know, the psychology shifts from taking your dog and trying to take your dog somewhere or bring the dog under leadership. You'll see the dog's mind react. They're rejecting reasonable influence, and probably reasonable influence. But and that's why dogs are hitting the tipping point. Okay, what you'll see is, when dogs are getting a whole lot of power, they're really attached to the people. They're devaluing the owner. So they're hanging off that person like glue, but not because they love the person. It's because they have no respect for the person. They're devaluing. They see the person's property. But the person sees that attachment totally different. They see that as the dog loving them more at a certain point. But, of course, it'll all come off the rails anyway. And they'll see it for what it is eventually, because they get very frustrated. But they're engaged in a permissive type of connection. But what happens is, the dog has that real, starts hitting that tipping point, the dog's mind starts to pull in, and the dog will start camping out, okay, which means the dog will start to kind of really get messed up and draw kind of inward on itself. It's like the narcissist that gets pathological. They create their own pathological space, so to speak. Well, dogs kind of do the same thing. They create their own pathological space. That's why you'll see dogs go into the crate as a place, as a sort of campsite, their own little pathological space where they think they can escape any type of leadership, even a slight, even the potential that leadership be brought over them. And that's why you'll see dogs bite even from the psychology shifting from someone trying to pet them. So when the owner that's being devalued is holding the dog and somebody's reaching out to pet the dog, somebody else, that slight shift of psychology, because it's a state of wanting, okay? It's not, you know, and this is where, again, if you look at it on top of the physical level of things, as a person's reaching out, you know, that looks like an emotional, you know, right from the very start of the hand starting to move towards the dog's head. You frame that up, that picture right there, right? That if once it's, because you'll say, why did the dog bite the person? The dog was just showing the dog kindness or whatever. But no, and it's like at the psychology end, that person's in a state of wanting, of being assertive, because they're reaching towards the dog in a different state of mind before it changes to emotion. Once the hand actually touches the dog's head and the hand starts to rub, then the mind will become emotional. But before then, as the reaching out happens, the mind is actually not in an emotional state. It's in a state of wanting. It's an expressed state of influence. And so the dog rejects that. That's why you see people get bit. But really, you know, think about what I'm saying. This is why you can't always go by what the physical state is when you're trying to connect it to the state of mind of the person or the dog. And so some of these interplays are very problematic for people who are thinking a certain way, because they're not connecting those two dots together, both mind and body, that way. Okay, they're totally disconnected. Okay, they're just giving it all a green light. This is why, again, why trainers who use treats, and they use this whole ideology that dogs can learn, and so, you know, the dog is doing the sit down, come stay, and all that. You know, they're making certain assumptions about that state of mind that it must mean the change is moving forward, and in reality, oftentimes not, because what happens is they're not looking at the dog's overall decision making process that way. To say, to ask the question, you know, are behavior issues actually diminishing or not? You know, are things getting better? Because within the controlled environment of that, you know, of that class, you know, under those conditions, you're not getting a clear picture of anything. Now, that's not to say that, again, I don't want people to miss the point here, that role change isn't going to happen with some people. It absolutely will. But certainly isn't because of these people bringing treats and stuff online. It's because the people are actually changing. But typically, you know, you get into this type of treat-based or clicker-based stuff, typically, it's very problematic, okay, especially when you start to really focus in on this devaluation issue I'm talking about and why it is that response can't always be trusted. and people aren't putting it to the test. You know, they're just saying, well, it looks good, here's your certificate. It's a complete joke. Even in the service dog industry, that's why the service dog industry really has no credibility at this point, because a lot of the people involved in that are the food and clicker trainers. They're kind of taking over that whole industry, and it's all about just the feelings of people. But see, people are people who are connecting with dogs, where the owners are taking these dogs, they're emotional too. So it's like a kind of a scripted mess, because you're not getting any sort of audit process going on there. Okay, you're just having people that are just kind of buying into it, and you know, and then of course the same thing must be something on the dog. When something bad happens, the dog bites somebody or hurts somebody, then they're trying to figure out what's going on. Well, what's going on? The dog was never role changed. I mean, relational change never actually happened. Just that you found a false sense of security in the scripted evaluation, because how the dog's engaging certain people and certain personality types, it's giving a counterfeit picture of a balanced dog. Okay, but again, like I said, there's no one-offs. So anyway, just something to think about. I'm going to do a second part two of this show just to get a little more into some of these key points here. But clearly, you know, people should, as I talk to these shows, people should get a sense that there's something not lining up with a lot of these training systems. And because what I show is, if you go to my site, it's very open and transparent. I don't hide anything. I mean, even my videos, you go and watch some of my videos, I'm showing a lot of top-to-bottom videos with dogs with serious behavior issues. Dogs that come to me with serious aggression problems, you'll see me right from the moment of getting that muzzle on the dog, right up through that muzzle coming off that dog, you'll see the script changing. And it has nothing to do with the dog getting used to me. I'm bringing the dog into the relational script. And I say that word used to me because I had someone from one of these behavioralists that people sold in the script say that to me not too long ago, the reason why. The dog's better here for me than with them. Suddenly the dog's getting out of control. The dog's used to me, and that's ridiculous. No, it's because, you know, the script is going upside down again, and the dog's being in power. That's why. When the dog's here, the dog's actually changing. You'll see that. But again, it's all psychology. It's all how people think. But again, if you're in the Florida area and you're looking for, help, you know, there's many options. Go to my website. I have lots of great options for people to help them. I have a group option now on there, a group training started. But, again, usually I recommend a couple home sessions first just to see where you're at, to make sure that some change is happening before starting to get into group training. Because group training is more for building the bridge for socialization, working with other dogs, which is a great option. But you know, there's a sequence of change that or relational sequencing that kind of goes on. So you want to make sure some role change is happening first. And that's something you can kind of get on board with is the group training. Also, I do other training as well. You know, I do service dog training. And also have books available through my website and through Amazon. So if you're interested in, a good kind of a good read and a book that has lots of, a step-by-step kind of guide, how to role change a dog, lots of great information in my guides. And I've distance help as well. So if you live outside what you consider too far away from where I'm at here in Florida, you can check out my distance option. It's a great option. It has the ability to send me videos and back and forth, so I'm able to kind of get you on the right path. So anyway, thanks very much for tuning in. I hope you gained something out of the show, and I encourage you to check out my other shows, and I hope you'll tune in to my next show. Anyway, take care, and have a great day.